Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation on this Holy Monday is recorded in the 21st chapter of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning with the 6th verse. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Before arriving in my vicar congregation, Ukiah, California, my wife and I made a brief stop in San Francisco. Since we were very unfamiliar with the town, we decided to take a trolley tour of this very famed urban metropolis. On the tour, we saw such interesting and famous sights as Fisherman's Wharf. We saw the Presidio. We saw the Golden Gate Bridge, Chinatown, even the very affluent Nob Hill. As we passed by Lombard Street, though, the very steep, zigzagging street, our tour guide paused for a moment, and he asked this question. He said, "Many people think that Lombard Street is one of the most crooked streets in all of America. In reality, it's only the second most crooked street. Do any of you know what the most crooked street in America actually is?" Setting us up for a real groaner, he then came and said to us, "Wall Street in New York City, of course." In our text for this morning, we are pondering another very crooked street. In fact, this street is the most crooked street in all of the world, the most crooked street in all time. Let us then ponder upon this theme, the road to Jerusalem. Now, the events of our text did not occur without rhyme or reason, for our Lord did not just ignorantly ask his disciples to go and pick up a donkey and a colt because he was sick and tired of walking. No, rather, our Lord recognized in his omniscience that the promised Messiah would enter into the holy city on Holy Week upon a donkey. For this had been prophesied long ago by the prophet Zechariah. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, and riding a donkey on a colt, the foal of a donkey." First of all, we should see that the donkey was a sign of Davidic royalty. Thus, by riding into Jerusalem upon a donkey, Jesus was saying that he was the Son of David, the long-promised King of the Jews. This donkey was also a sign of peace. Thus, by riding in on a donkey in Jerusalem, he was saying that he has come to bring an everlasting peace to mankind. Finally, this donkey was a sign of profound and deep humility. Now, to be sure, the crowd understood that he was a king who had come to bring peace to Israel. But were they expecting a king who would humble himself, so much so that he would die for the sins of you and me today? We discover in our story, some really were not expecting that at all. This event also has some other significance if we consider the historical background of Palm Sunday. For our Lord entered into Palm Sunday at the very time the Passover festival was about to begin. Now, the Passover was an Old Testament sacramental meal connected with the 10th plague in Egypt. It commemorated the time when the death angel passed over the houses of the Israelites marked with lamb's blood. For those homes in Egypt that were not marked with the blood of the lamb, the death angel took the life of the firstborn. After this very dreadful night, Pharaoh finally relented and let the children of Israel go, only to lose his entire army in the depths of the sea as he tried to reacquire his lost slaves. Now, 4 days before the Passover sacrifice and meal, the people were to choose a lamb for the commemoration of this very important redemptive event in Israel's history. This lamb was supposed to be one without blemish and without spot. A lamb that would be cooked on a cross-shaped spigot with none of its bones being broken. How interesting it is that Jesus Christ entered into the holy city on the very day the Passover lamb was supposed to be selected. He did this to foretell. He did this to complete the foretelling to the people of old that he was the promised Lamb of God who comes to bear not just the sins of Israel, but the sins of all people. For just as that Passover lamb brought deliverance to the Old Testament people long ago, so too the promised lamb, the true promised lamb, the Lamb of God, whom St. John pointed out, comes to deliver us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. This is why we say on Easter Sunday with St. Paul, Christ our Pascha, Christ our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. In the introduction to this sermon, I implied that the road leading into Jerusalem was a profoundly crooked street. Well, there's nothing overly crooked about the street leading into Jerusalem, nor was it its wall streets. What I was getting at was the disposition, the character of the people themselves. For some of them were willing to praise him as an earthly king and a liberator from Roman oppression. But when they realized that his kingdom was not of this world, some of them turned on him on Good Friday and cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Some even dared to speak at his trial, "May his blood be on us and on our children." Before we criticize the fickleness of the mob, we must each remember that it was our sins that nailed him upon that accursed tree. For ultimately, our lies that betrayed him, our hatred for one another that ripped open the flesh on his back, our envy that bore our entire weight upon that crown of thorns, pushing it ever deeper into his skull. It was indeed a very crooked street, for upon this road, our Lord bore the sins of the entire world for you and for me. In the historic epistle for Palm Sunday, St. Paul teaches us that Christ had to humble himself to do this. But how could he, true God from God, humble himself? Answer is, he did not always make full use of those divine powers, those attributes that he shared with his human nature, so that he can be our Savior. For if he just used his omnipotence in all of its fullness, he could not suffer and die. Thus the King, the Lord of heaven and earth, much like faithful Isaac, humbled himself, bearing the wood up to the holy mountain to offer himself as the one all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. But unlike faithful Isaac, who was relieved of his duty because he could not pay for the sins of all mankind, the true ram caught by the horns in the thicket was offered up to bring a true and lasting peace between God and man, as the angels sang not so long ago at the Holy Incarnation, a peace between God and man, not just peace, but a proclamation of forgiveness, of innocence with God, so much so that he calls you now his brother and sister in Christ. Just as our Lord Christ came long ago, so too, brothers and sisters, he comes to us today in the Lord's Supper. He comes to us veiled in bread and wine. He comes not in glory, but under these elements. For in with and under the bread and the wine is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why every Sunday when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we say these words with those people. Sunday, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. For here, we, just like those people on Palm Sunday, are waiting in eager anticipation of the coming of our Lord. But he comes not to die, for he died once and for all, for you and for me. Instead, he comes to give us the very price of our salvation, the sacrifice of the cross, the body and blood, for the complete forgiveness of our sins. In addition to that, he gives us the power to overcome sin and live a more Christ-like life and service God by serving our fellow man. Finally, his kingdom is not of this world. Yet even though he rightly is also concerned about social manners, he did not come just to make this fleeting existence more tolerable, but he came to give us so much more. He came to offer us a place in above, a place in paradise where we will weep no more. Brothers and sisters, this is why we call the Lord's Supper, which you will receive again this Monday, Thursday, the Viaticum, which is Latin for food for the wayfarers. For we are indeed pilgrims on this earth. But here is the sweet food that gives us the strength to endure all throughout this life, this great Lent, until we finally celebrate the Easter above, where we all will weep no more forevermore. We are indeed pilgrims on this earth. Heaven is our true home. Amen. We rise. Let us pray. Almighty, everlasting God, you have sent your Son, Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, that all should follow the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his patience and also by your grace alone be made partakers of his resurrection through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.